by Donaldine's opportunist mentality. It was simply too good to miss. Why let them have lots of light while they rushed about manning their defense weapons and trying to get out to their planes? Why not simply throw the whole thing into total chaos? And then go up and, with infrared screens, shoot the place to bits. Their own plane had a wave neutralizer copied from one stolen from a ground car, and they could turn it on and those apes wouldn't know what to shoot at. Further, if this battle plane took off, it would seem like it was a defense plane. Dunaldine spoke rapidly to a startled but agreeable Dwight. Just as casually as though they were a visiting plane, they landed right beside the big wheel. Dunaldine hitched the assault rifle strap over his shoulder, opened the door of the plane, stepped down, walked over to the bus bar wheel, and gave it its first spin. It all went okay, just up to that point. But now, a cyclo in a little guardhouse they had not spotted, only 10 feet from that bus bar, stepped out and stared at Dunaldine.
Ah! A toll naps!
Screamed the guard. Before Dunaldine could get the assault rifle into position, the guard had closed the door and hit a siren. A bullhorn opened up enough to blast one's eardrums in.
Tollnap attack! All posts! Tollnaps! Guard positions!
Regardless of what tollnaps might be, Dunaldine spun the bus bar wheel so fast it screamed. He realized then why it was so close to the landing stage. They darkened the place for attack precautions and had a guardhouse right handy to do it. Dunaldine raced back to the plane. He dove in. Dwight's assault rifle opened up as guards boiled out of a stairwell. They dissolved into luminous green flashes. The battle plane soared. Dunaldine threw on the wave neutralizer and infrared screens. They reverted to plan. With guns set to no flame, maximum concussion, they roared across the compound. The domes squashed like punctured balloons. They raced across the lines of warehouses and knocked their roofs flat. For good measure, they made another pass, this time dropping non-radiation, anti-personnel bombs. One gun opened up at them, and the plane took a jolt. They flashed down and squashed the gun with a single blast. And that was the end of the base. The Cyclo Intergalactic Mining Company did not believe in lavishing money on safety equipment in any department, apparently. And hadn't Johnny said something about Turl calling in all the armaments from these bases? From what they could gather, standing by way up in the air, the creatures in the compound had been unable to get the masks on before the domes were smashed, for there certainly wasn't any mob coming out. They hung around for a while, occasionally knocking out an isolated vehicle and a stray guard. It really was quiet down there after that. Then they saw something on their radar screen. It was an incoming transport. Abruptly, they recalled transport plane engines leaving after the incoming firing. This thing had been slow-poking its way home, and they had passed it. Good. Dunaldine, much to Dwight's dismay, landed beside the bus bar and turned it on. They just sat there. The landing lights were now on. Any Cyclo employee left alive was not concentrating on coming out. The transport plane landed. The Cyclos got out, fooled around with baggage. Then the pilot got out. The Cyclos walked in a mob toward the compound. Then they began to feel something was wrong and stopped. The Cyclo pilot reached for his belt gun. Dunaldine and Dwight cut them down with assault rifles. Dunaldine flew Dwight over to the fuel dump. They knew what fuel cartridge the transport took, for it was a duplicate of the plane that had brought Johnny to Scotland. Dwight got the fuel cartridges. Dunaldine brought him back to the transport plane. Dwight took the old cartridges out and put new ones in. Dunaldine shot a guard car that had survived and came racing toward them. It blew up. Dunedain got into the air. Dwight flew the transport up. Dunedain shot the master power pole to bits in a fanfare of sparks and flashes. Seeing that Dwight was well clear, Dunedain flew to a point about 10 feet above the breathe gas dump. He dropped a low-yield, lead-shielded, time-fused, radioactive mine on it. He soared up, and the dump roared in a lovely green-blue flash. He again checked to see where Dwight had gotten to, saw he was safe. Dunedain soared to 10,000 feet, nosed the plane over, sighted, and fired at the explosives dump. It went up like a miniature volcano. Absolutely beautiful. He dropped back and verified that the compound had not exploded. This was part of their orders. The machinery and stored planes were apparently intact. With no atmosphere to breathe and no fuel to fly, with 90% of its personnel probably dead, the mine site in Cornwall was a write-off. That paid for a lot of crimes. Dunedain fell in beside the transport.
"What's a toll nip?"
asked Dunedain. Dwight didn't know either, but Dunedain supposed he did look strange in a Chinko air mask and U.S. Air Force stratosphere flying gear. They had already agreed on a new and wonderful plan, Dunedain had thought up. They had almost 6 hours of radio silence left, orders complete, and time on their hands. Dunedain was related to the chief of Clanfergus, and besides, there was a lass he had not seen for nearly a year. They hoped the other 14 mine site attack planes had done as well. Of course, perhaps not with the same style. They headed for Scotland.
End of CD 16.